when the oil boom goes bust for investors.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. The price of oil is hovering around $50 a barrel. We haven't seen prices this low since 2009. There are economic and geopolitical consequences to cheap oil. Shares of oil and gas companies took a hit yesterday in the U.S., and that sector is also taking a hit in Europe this morning. Cheap oil has also turned what once appeared to be promising investments into losing propositions. And with me to talk about that is Marketplace's Sabri Benishour. Sabri, it sounds like we could see oil field write-downs happening as soon as later this month.
Yeah, Citigroup estimates oil producers are losing out on $4.5 billion a day. That is $1.5 trillion a year. So, on their books, oil explorers have debts, often from big projects they've started, and those debts looked fine when they were able to say, well, we have these booming oil fields, which will make us a bunch of money to pay those debts back. Well, now they aren't making all that money, so they have to do what's called a write-down, which is basically admit that. Profitability is down. Credit ratings for some companies may go down as well.
Okay, so that's unfortunate for these companies, but how far a reach would that have for the rest of us?
Well, for markets, it has quite a reach, and I think you've seen that, as you mentioned. And here's the sort of argument. Lawrence McDonald is head of macro strategy at NewEdge.
There's over $3 trillion of debt, $3 trillion of debt globally that's tied to energy. Hundreds of companies with billions of dollars of debt that's tied to the price of oil. So if the price of oil continues to decline, once again, we will have a spectacular surge in volatility in the markets.
Now, of course, cheaper oil can be great for our economy and the global economy. I mean, we have more money in our pockets. Auto sales are up. It's cheaper to make a lot of goods. So in that sense, no, the oil sector is not going to drag us all down with it.
All right. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour, thanks. Oil is something lawmakers are thinking about. Today, the 114th Congress meets for the first time, and at the top of its agenda is the Keystone XL pipeline project. Republicans say they'll introduce new legislation today authorizing it. Then there will be hearings and debate later this week. Tim Fitzsimmons reports on the economics of the Keystone XL now that the price for a barrel of oil is half what it was a year ago.
The Keystone XL pipeline was proposed in 2008, and that year oil hit a peak price of over $140 a barrel. On Monday, oil traded below $50 a barrel. Carl Kirst, managing director at BMO Capital Markets, thinks the pipeline will get built because Canada's oil producers have so much invested in its completion.
These are oil majors with a very, very long-term oil outlook and commodity expectation and are not making shipping agreements basically on what they think the price of oil is going to be over the next 6 to 12 months, for instance.
But then again, few foresaw this collapse in the price of oil.
We're not short of crude. We're awash in crude.
That's Robert Bryce, a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He says the equation that has changed is how much oil can be pulled from the ground. The U.S. produces four times what it did in 2008, and that's thanks to fracking. So what's with the rush to make this pipeline?
The political significance of Keystone XL is now overshadowing its economic significance.
And it's the political question that gets taken up this week in Congress. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
It's alleged an employee at Morgan Stanley stole information on hundreds of thousands of the firm's clients, and Morgan Stanley just announced it's fired that financial analyst. But every few weeks now, it seems there's a new breach that compromises customer information. One big part of the data security business is mobile security. That's because we store and access more and more sensitive data on our smartphones. Sam Harnett reports on how technology developed to keep that information safe helps the rest of us.
Vic Hyder is a former Navy SEAL, and he doesn't like the idea that his phone could leak his data. Basically, that someone could be spying on him. So, he's talking to me on his black phone.
And therefore, I'm encrypted between my phone here in New York to our servers in Canada.
Hyder is the chief strategist at Silent Circle. The software firm has partnered with a Spanish smartphone company to release the black phone. Nope, not a BlackBerry, a black phone. which is as secretive as it sounds. The phone encrypts communication, and it comes with special apps that don't send data to marketers. In the past, customers have mostly been CEOs, government officials, and celebrities.
Shaq just tweeted recently he got his black phone.
Now, though, companies are buying black phones for their employees, and everyday people can order them online. Samsung is also offering more secure phone options. It's a growing market, says Tyler Shields, an analyst at Forrester.
I think the global consumer is starting to recognize with leaks of these private photos of celebrities and other highly sensitive pieces of data that security and mobility is an issue.
But most regular people aren't losing their sensitive data through hacks. They are losing it through their apps.
Almost 99% of free apps collect some user data.
Domingo Guerra is the president of App Authority, which assesses app security. He says on the whole, apps are not getting better at protecting data. Some are so faulty, he says, developers don't even know what information is being collected and transmitted to third parties. Of the 3 million apps his company has surveyed, he says only a fraction are secure.
Because most apps are free or really cheap, developers are almost encouraged to collect data and find ways to monetize that.
If that doesn't change, Guerra says we can expect to continue leaking data, regardless of what device we use. In San Francisco, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
Finally, two climbers are trying to get to the top of El Capitan in Yosemite without using ropes. They're free climbing it, and the New York Times is tracking their trip. Today's piece is how they can spend weeks on that smooth rock face. How they sleep, how they eat. Turns out friends are bringing them supplies in what are called haul bags, and the latest include water, pasta, vegetables, and a small bottle of bourbon, they say, to take the edge off. I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.